Before last week, the name Abdulrazak Gurnah was hardly known. Now the novelist from Zanzibar is attracting worldwide curiosity about his life and the novels it inspires. Gurnah is this year's winner of the Nobel Prize in Literature, the first Black African to win in more than three decades. Here's how Anders Olsson, chair of the Swedish Academy Nobel Committee, described Gurnah's work last week.
In his 10 novels, he has consistently and with great compassion penetrated the effects of colonialism in East Africa and its effects on the lives of uprooted and migrating individuals.
And Abdulrazak Gurnah joins us now. So nice to have you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Now, this announcement came a few days ago. I understand you initially thought the call from the Swedish Academy was a prank?
Yeah, I did. But, you know, this is partly because it's such a great thing to happen. But also because, you know, we get so many of these cold calls. So you sit there and wait for whoever it is at the end of the line to say what they want and then hang up. So I was kind of in that sort of frame of mind. And then this man says, congratulations, you won the Nobel Prize. And said, are you making a joke? So indeed, it was like that.
Yeah, wow. Now, I have a confession. We have several bookworms on our staff at the program. Our team did not know your name or your work. In fact, as I understand it, many Tanzanians and Zanzibarians don't either. They do now. How has this burst of notoriety been for you?
Well, it's been overwhelming. I remember even myself as a schoolboy in Zanzibar, understanding what it meant. That year, it was Ernest Hemingway had just won the Nobel Prize for Literature. And we're all saying, you know, like, this is something, eh? Everybody in the world would love us. So there is something quite amazing and strange to be in that position yourself.
Now, you were born and grew up in Zanzibar, as you describe, in the 1950s and 60s, a time of great political upheaval and violence in post-colonial East Africa. Tell us a little bit more what that was like for you.
1964 was the revolution in Zanzibar. I had just started secondary school, around 13 or so, something like that. That was probably the worst period after the revolution, when the state was really a terror state. I know now there's violence in so many places in Africa, or has been in recent years, some of it quite extraordinary, places like Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Uganda. But in the early 60s, that hadn't quite happened yet. So it was still a very dramatic thing that happened to Zanzibar. And some of the cruelties there seemed unbelievable and inhumane. We were completely shocked by the events that were taking place in Zanzibar.
Now, out of that shock, you eventually fled this violence and went to England, where you were a refugee and an outsider. And many of your novels go to issues of colonialism, family, and cultural identity for people in these in-between places. How did that steer or nudge you into becoming a writer?
It's probably what made the difference, in a sense. You know, I don't know if I would have become a writer if I had stayed in Zanzibar, who knows? But I do know that it was in England that, because of the experiences that I was going through, writing became, without me realizing it at first, became a way of reflecting or analyzing, or just simply engaging with feeling, with memory, with just life. And then after a while, you think, well, what am I doing? I mean, writing things down is one thing, but writing things down and the pages pile up, what is this about? So then I think, well, maybe I've got to shape this and make something of it. And I think then I started to write, just trying to put some shape into these various reflections and probably some of them quite miserable, homesick stuff. And then it takes a while because you're going about it in that way. Rather than I'm making art, you're going through experience.
You know, as I hear you describe this, I think it makes sense to me because I'm now reading Gravel Heart, your novel, which goes into some of what you just described about a protagonist leaving East Africa at a young age for the UK, later returns, the complexity, the complications of coming back. I mean, the story itself is dramatic and compelling. But I just want to ask you, why do you choose to use fiction to seemingly introduce these nonfiction realities about colonialism and its long tail. There's something about kind of reality and history, I think, that you're trying to introduce to us.
Well, fiction does things that, say, writing a historical narrative doesn't do. I do believe that quite a lot of the so-called ignorance, you know, about the wider world is not necessarily willful, but it is also part of just not simply being told or not hearing what you're being told. I think fiction is its importance, aside from other things, is that it bridges that gap between what we don't know about, only know vaguely about, and what scholarship already does and knows a great deal about. So it allows us to go into places with an ability to experience, to identify, maybe to think, oh, I know what this must be like, and I must go and find out a little bit more about this. So
it is an easier foothold for those of us far away to visit these histories.
Easier for the reader, maybe.
But yeah, yes, anyway, for the reader.
Yeah, but in any way, more engaging, more immediate than to read maybe an academic piece of writing or something like that, which is also worth reading. But, you know, it will require perhaps a degree of training, a degree of concentration that fiction may not. Fiction may draw you in emotionally and also in a sense of sharing people's lives, the people you're reading about. Anyway, that's one reason why fiction is important to me. The other reason is because I enjoy reading. And when you read beautiful things, there is a pleasure, whatever they're about, and I suppose the skill of the writer that you want to be part of, to engage with.
Yeah. You're the first Black African writer to win this prize since Wale Soyinka 35 years ago, the first Black writer to receive the prize since Toni Morrison back in the early 90s. Now there is this worldwide reckoning, as you know, about issues of race. So in this moment, what does this prize mean to you?
Well, this prize is a recognition of what I have written, but it is also a prize for other people. It's a prize for my country. It's a prize for Africa. I see it that way.
Mr. Gerner, your win has sparked some lively discussions online about identity. Some say you should not be considered an African writer because you've lived outside of the continent for so long and because your work is in English and not in your native Swahili. What do you say to that, and how would you categorize yourself if you had to?
I'm from Zanzibar, and the fact that I've lived most of my life outside doesn't ever take that away. Yesterday, I was talking to the president of Zanzibar, who was very happy to offer his congratulations and to say, as soon as I get back there so they can celebrate properly, the better. And the president of Tanzania has also extended her congratulations. So on that score, I don't think I'm worried about what anybody thinks. As for the matter of why do I write in English instead of Swahili, because that's what I chose to do. And I chose to do for complex and complicated reasons. Quite simply because writing and reading have this intensely complex interrelationship. And I grew up reading in English. We were lucky enough to have the British colonize us, so it was English. I read in that. I ended up in England, and then one of the great benefits for me for going to England was this suddenly being able to read so much. There were so many books available when we had been so deprived before. So then when I started writing is also about, you know, speaking to the network of what you have read. And so I did not even think about it. I just started to write in English and felt very comfortable doing so and continue to feel very comfortable doing so.
Finally, can I ask what's next for you? You've just retired as English professor at the University of Kent in Canterbury. Your resume now includes Nobel laureate. What's next? Is there more writing for you?
Well, I hope so. I'm in the middle of something. I mean, this thing only just happened a few days ago, so I'm still kind of sort of everything is ground to a halt while I speak to people and, in a sense, just generally take it all in. But yes, of course, I hope that in due course I will be able to continue writing for another 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Who knows?
Well, we'll be there reading. Abdulrazak Gurnah is this year's winner for the Nobel Prize in Literature. Great pleasure to talk to you, sir, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.